Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited that you tuned into our Planted Not Buried series. Today's message will help you see that God is with us even when it doesn't seem like it. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
I want to share out of God's word and kind of expand upon and expound upon what Mike shared as it relates to our relationship. I want to give you the reason why transformation is so blessed. This is not an overnight success. This is an undercover success. And I want to give you scriptural context to it so you can have it and use it and appropriate it into your lives. But in the same way, your senior pastor is undercover. Every single person that calls Transformation Church home should be undercover. So I invite you with me to open up the Word of God, either in a physical Bible or on your phone or iPad, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 3. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter number 3. I want to read a few verses in your hearing, and then I want to give you the title of the message, and then we'll pray and see what the Lord has to say. Is that all right? All right, so the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter number 3, starting at the 13th verse. Here's what it says. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. So here is the title of this message, the final message in this series. Write this down. All my nerves has taken notes. Write this down. The title of this message is Planted Under Cover. Planted under cover. Would you say that with me? Planted under cover. One more time, a little bit louder. Planted under cover. Let's do something prophetic with this one. Put one arm out like this. And then when you say planted under, I want you to take the other arm and do like this. I know it's weird. Just go with it. What is he doing? Go with it. All right? Last time. Ready? Real loud. Planted. Good. Okay. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Let's pray over the word before we get started, okay? Holy Spirit, cover us. Amen. That's it. That's it. I pray quick. I'm the one you want over for Thanksgiving dinner. We will pray for nations later. But we're going to eat this turkey now. If you've been following this series for all 7 up into these 8 weeks, then what you understand at this point and what you probably could do is start a garden. You've heard so much about planting, maybe you've been inspired perhaps to start your own garden. My wife was inspired months ago, and it had nothing to do with this series. I'm married to the finest woman breathing on the planet. My wife, Juliet, is half Jamaican. She's half Bahamian, super fine and all mine. And the Bahamian side of my wife is that proper British side, but that Jamaican side of my wife is that very industrial gangster side that has 10 jobs, okay? She is the airplane pilot. She is also the air traffic control. She is also baggage claim. I mean, she does everything. And whenever she endeavors upon a new hobby or task, she never does anything halfway. Juliet does everything to the max. It is full tilt. And she told me several months ago, I'm starting a garden. To which I responded, yay. Because I didn't know which side was starting a garden. I didn't know if it was the British side, or I didn't know if it was the Bahamian British side of her, or if it was going to be the Jamaican side of her. All I knew is she said she was starting a garden and she meant it. I found out very quickly it was not the British side that started this garden. It was that Jamaican one that started this garden. And she went and she got some tomato seeds and she began to plant tomato seeds and she began to plant pepper seeds and she's like, I'm gonna cultivate the land. And I was like, okay, good. And so she started planting the seeds and she got a harvest and she wasn't satisfied with the harvest. And she said, this is not what I wanted. I'm like, well, you planted the seed and you got a tomato and this, it looks nice. Yay. That should be it. Yay. You did it. She's like, no, it's not the seed that's the issue. It's this dirt. I said, but it's just dirt. She said, no, I need to do something with this dirt. I was like, but it's just, you did it. You dug it up and then you put the seed in there, you covered it, and then it was dirt. She was like, no, I need to do something with this dirt. And I said, well, what do you need to do with this dirt? She said, I need to work with it. She went and bought a compost bin. And she commanded the whole family after they ate, don't you throw this stuff away. I'm putting it in my compost bin. And I'm gonna let it decompose and break down. And I'm taking all the leaves that are in the grass and I'm throwing them in the compost bin. And everything's going to just turn really black and rich. And I'm going to add this to the dirt. And this soil is going to be really, really good when I get ready to plant these next seeds. I was like, really? She was like, yeah. And so then she was like, yeah. So I got the compost bin going and I'm mixing that with the dirt. But I realized I've been on YouTube and I've been Googling and I've been talking to some gardeners. And so I need worm castings. And I was like, what are worm castings? It's just another fancy word. I'd had no idea people can come up with so many words for poop. All worm castings is poop. And she said, I need to buy a bag of worm castings. And my brain, I'm very, very imaginative and I'm a literal person. And I stopped thinking about what she wanted. And I'm trying to figure out who's the first person that got the revelation that they can make money off worm poop. Like I don't pay attention to stuff that much to be like, you know what I can do with this worm poop? That can make me $1 million. So she started researching and she said, I'm going to buy the worm poop. And then she stopped and she said, no, I'm not buying the worm poop. Because I don't know what they ate to produce that poop. I said, you have lost a piece of your, a piece of your mind just left. She said, no, I'm going to get me some worms. And that way I can put them in my compost bin and I'll know exactly what they've been eating because I want to know where the poop came from. I said, you have lost a piece of your mind. Well, she did. And just when I was about to label her certified cray cray, this tomato comes out of our garden and onto my plate. And the first bite that I put into that tomato made me question every tomato I had ever had. Prior to that tomato, I was like, what have I been eating? Because I love tomatoes. And when I go to restaurants, I'm like, hey, I would like some sliced tomatoes. I'm a pretty healthy person. And I wanted the sliced tomatoes. And they said, no, this one's different. This tomato was put in the ground differently. It was fertilized differently. It was stewarded differently. Tomatoes at restaurants are mass produced for mass consumption. But this tomato that came from our garden to our table, we were with it every step of the way. I'm gonna let that. And I realized that there is something different about a seed that goes into the ground that is covered properly versus a seed that goes into the ground that's not covered properly. So there's some truths that I want you to write down before I even get to the 6 points that I want to give you later. Here's one of the first points I want you to write down. A seed dies undercover. A seed dies undercover. They don't die on top of cover. They die undercover. You have to dig a hole. You have to put the seed down in it, and you have to cover it up. The best of what that seed is going to produce will never come out unless it's covered up. It's not buried. It's covered. Truth number two. Please write this down. A plant grows under cover. It's just a natural fact. I don't have to spend too much time on this, but I want to lay a foundation. A plant grows under cover. When you see that first stalk poke through the ground and you start saying, wow, it's growing. What you see on the outside is an indication of what's happening under cover. Here's a third truth you need to write down. A plant thrives under cover. If you put an orange seed in the ground and it dies, the seed dies, the casing on the outside breaks, and what's on the inside starts to protrude through the ground. As it grows up, it will start producing fruit. And when you see this fruit, what you will see is a tree that is being nurtured correctly, but the best part of that tree is not what you see, it's what you don't see. If you see fruit on that tree, what it means is the root is thriving. That's good. What's undercover is thriving. And lastly, the fourth truth, please write this down. A plant survives under cover. So you can see something thrive undercover, but a lot of times when something is thriving or when someone is thriving undercover, you don't want to get cocky enough to think that you can now come up out of that cover. If that same orange tree that starts thriving undercover and producing fruit decided, you know what? I don't have to stay under here no more. I'm going to get up and walk around. I'm going to uproot and just start walking around. I'm producing something right now. Then what you will start seeing is the end of the fruit on that tree. Because the reason why that tree is thriving is because of what's underneath. You never go by the fruit of a ministry, you go by the root of a ministry. You never go off of the fruit of the business, you go off of the root of the business. And it survives because it stays under cover. Now, this particular message would be absolutely illegal and impermissible to speak from this platform if my only inspiration for the message was my wife's garden. Anytime someone gets more inspiration from what's going on around them than what goes on in the Word, it's an illegal sermon. If it's not anchored in the Word, it's absurd. It's going to be a bar-heavy sermon today. I can feel it. So I want to give you from the truth about what happens in Jesus' life, how important covering is. Y'all ready? Okay. Point number one, please write this down. Jesus was covered from heaven. Jesus was covered from heaven. Here's what it says in Matthew 3:17. We just read it. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." Jesus was covered from heaven. God called him, God assigned him, and he affirmed his earthly ministry. Jesus was covered from heaven. How many people feel in here that you have a call on your life? that God's called you to do something significant. It could be in ministry. It could be on one of the seven mountains of influence. You could be in family or government or arts and entertainment or media. It doesn't really matter, but you know God has a plan for your life. Let me see your hand. That should be 100% of the people in this room. God has something significant for you to do. He calls it out. He starts speaking to your heart about it. But let me tell you something. He's speaking to your heart about it, and he's called you to do it. He will cover you, but you cannot only be covered in heaven, you must be covered on earth. Come on. Take my time here. You can't just be covered off the words you got from God. It must be covered on earth as well. Which brings me to my second point. Please write this one down. Jesus was covered on earth. Jesus was absolutely covered on earth. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter number 3, verse 13. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Why was this so important? I actually gave you points 1 and 2 out of order on purpose. Because what a lot of people do when it comes to the call of God on their life is they'll hear God tell them, this is what I've called you to do. They may have gotten a prophetic word at a conference, and instead of coming back and submitting that to their covering, they run out and try to do it based off what God said up there without having any affirmation from a man down here. Scripture says that Jesus came to John to be baptized. Why was this so important? Because Jesus could not start his earthly ministry until human authority endorsed him. If there was one man that ever walked the earth that could have justified not submitting to human authority, it would have been Jesus, and he never did it. So how can we? He never circumvented human authority. He actually submitted to it before he started his earthly ministry. And God did not give his endorsement of his son until he had endorsement from a man. Wow. Well, preacher, I don't know if I really agree with that. Let me slow down real quick. Jesus did not turn water into wine until he met with John. He did not open up a blind eye until he met with John. He did not heal the sick until he met with John. He did not make the lame walk until he met with John. He did not raise a dead body until he met with John. Because he knew, if I don't have the hand of human authority on my life, my whole ministry on earth will be illegal. It will be uncovered. Well, John wasn't, he was just in the wilderness. I mean, he wasn't that special. Oh, hold on. Jesus said, if y'all can stomach it, let me tell you who John is. He's greater than any other prophet that's ever walked on this planet. Do you want to know why? Ask me why. Why? Ask me why.
Why?
Say, why, Tim? Why is John so important, Tim?
Why is John so important, Tim?
Stop telling me to ask you and just answer the question. I will. Thank you for asking. The reason why John is more important than every other prophet is because every other prophet up until John only had one message about Jesus. Yes. He's coming.
Yes.
He's coming.
Yes.
He's coming.
Yes.
He's coming. Yes. Moses, he's coming. Elijah, he's coming. Elisha, he's coming. David, he's coming. Isaiah, he's coming. Jeremiah, he's coming. Ezekiel, he's coming. Amos, he's coming. Obadiah, he's coming. Zephaniah, he's coming. Every prophet that spoke about Jesus, the only thing they could say was, he's coming. Here's why John was so great. He's the first prophet and the only prophet that got to say, there he is. His message was not, it's coming. His message was, he's here. Ah, there he is. coming. He's coming. Oh, he's coming. He's coming right to me. What? He coming right over here. I know you're my cousin and stuff. But you're also the Son of God. So, and Jesus walked right up to him, and he's like, And Jesus walks up to him and then submits to him. This is Jesus, fully God and fully man. He don't need nobody to endorse him. He walks right up to John and says, hey, you have to baptize me or I cannot start my earthly ministry. My dad's not going to even say, that's my son in whom I'm well pleased until you baptize me. To which John goes, no, sir. You should be baptizing me. I can't baptize you. This is what true apostolic humility looks like. It doesn't take its position to lord it over you, even when he's the Lord over you. He humbled himself. He brought himself to John and said, no, we have to do this so that all things in scripture may be fulfilled. And then John was like, okay. Okay, we're just gonna go back. And then Jesus is submitted in this posture. I'm not gonna have you preach something to everybody else that I'm not submitted to. You've told everybody else to repent and be baptized. I actually don't have nothing to repent from, but I still will be baptized because that's what you're commanding everybody to do. And so I'm going to fall in order with the submission of this house. I don't care what the other priests are saying in their church. Now that I've been submitted under your authority, whatever you're saying goes here, I'm going to be submitted to because I want to be covered by you. I'm just... Okay, on count of three, or... Do you need to hold your nose? And he went under cover. He went under the cover of water. And when he came out from under the cover of water, that's when God says, that's my boy, completely submitted to authority. I can use him to do great. I'm greatly pleased with this guy because he submitted himself to somebody else's ministry. Even though he knew his ministry would be leaps and bounds beyond what John's ministry was, he still submitted to it. Got his endorsement before he went into it. Jesus was covered on earth. Point number three, please write this down. Jesus covered his disciples. It just seems really, really easy, but I want you to understand the reason why he could cover his disciples because he was covered himself. You can never cover anybody else if you're not undercover. Oh boy, there's so much I want to say. Matthew 10, verse 1, here's what it says. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. The only reason why Jesus could give them authority to do it because he could do it. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Woo, that's good. You can only take people to the last place you've been. I'm gonna let that settle right there. Let me say it again. You can only take people to the last place you have been. Let me tell you why Moses could not take the people into the promised land. Because he had never been there. Moses sent spies into the promised land, but he never went in himself. Moses, when he was in Egypt, killed a young Egyptian soldier. He ran out into the wilderness, got a call from God, came back to Egypt, got the children of Israel. Where did he take them? Back into the wilderness, because that's the last place he had been. Wow.
Joshua went into the promised land. He winds up taking over for Moses. Where does Joshua take the children of Israel? To the promised land. It was the last place he had been. Jesus came down from heaven to die for our sins so that we could all be redeemed, so he could take us back where? To heaven, because it's the last place he had been. I'm trying to tell you something. You can only take people to the last place you have been. You can't get delivered unless your covering is delivered. You can't get healed unless your covering is healed. You can't have financial breakthrough unless your covering has financial breakthrough. Okay. So Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. What had happened was here, here's what he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus covered his disciples who would turn into apostles because he was covered himself. And Jesus covered his apostles, and his apostles covered some other people, and those people covered some other people, and those people covered some other people, and those people covered some other people, other people, other people, other people, other people. 2018 years later, the covering works the same way. Jesus has not changed his apostolic order. He is our chief apostle. All apostle means in the Greek is someone who was sent. That's all apostle means, a sent one. That's what it means. It's not a deep word, but it's a biblical word. I use biblical word. I don't use churchy words. I don't use churchy colloquialisms. If it's in the Bible, I'm going to use it. If it's a church colloquialism just to be used to be used, I'll skip that. But biblical language is biblical language, and apostolic is true biblical language. It's a sent one. And our chief apostle was sent, and he discipled people, raised them up, and then he sent them out, and they raised people up and sent them out. And that's what's been happening for 2018 years. So let me talk to you about what true apostolic covering really is. I want to talk to you about what true apostolic covering is. So write that down. True apostolic covering is, here's point number one. Please write this down. It's relational. True apostolic covering is relational. And please write this sentence right next to it. You need a hand on you. True apostolic covering is relational. You need a hand on you. You cannot operate in ministry, in business, if you're a believer. Oh, yes. Okay, let me stop. Oh, boy. I hear a bunch of stuff today. Wow, it's something about this service. I hear a bunch of stuff for this service. Listen. A lot of people think the apostolic anointing and covering is only if you are assigned to ministry. But let me talk to you that are in the marketplace. You're a part of the local body. You still need to be under an apostolic covering for the business to work.
That's not really true.
I call to the witness stand Luke chapter number 5. I'm not going to go there, but you can go there if you want to just make sure that I'm scripturally intact. I believe that Peter was fishing on his boat. He had been out all night fishing on his boat. He had caught nothing. Jesus comes in the morning. He says, can I use your boat to preach in? He said, yes. He's washing his nets. He goes into the boat. He preaches. And then he said, hey, why don't we go out to get some fish? Peter was looking like, come on, man. I do this for a living. Why don't you, Rabbi, and let me fish? That's how marketplace leaders look at pastors. You don't know nothing about my realm. Why don't you just teach on the weekends and let me handle the company? Because you don't know nothing about this life, right? Jesus is like, you're cute. He's like, let's go out and see if we can catch some fish. Well, Peter and his brothers and associates, they had been on all night fishing the way they knew how to fish in their industry, which was we go out at night in the shallow, cast a net. The fish can't see the net because it's nighttime. They swim into the net. We catch them. We have revenue for our business. Jesus is breaking the entire business model. I want you to go out in the daytime to the deep, not the shallow, and cast your net. This is foolishness, sir. This is not work in the marketplace. It's not going to yield results. But if you say so, Rabbi, I'll submit. Submission doesn't mean that you're always happy about it. Submission doesn't mean that you always agree. Submission is, at least I'm gonna get to tell him I told him so. Because it's not how you fish, man. And they got out there and they threw their nets into the deep. I know their body language was like, there was no expectation. They were just like, it ain't gonna work. I mean, I'm submitted, but it ain't gonna work. Threw that net out there, and Nemo and all his friends down there. Nemo went and got school out of class. Did y'all get it? And so many fish bum rushed that net that it started to tip the boat over. He had to call his friends. The fish ain't even supposed to be right here. Peter was so shook off of this event, he hit his knees and started crying. Lord Jesus, I don't deserve for you to be here. I'm a sinner. I didn't even want to do it. I talked about you under my breath. Listen, God doesn't have to curse you to bless you. He'll bless you to bless you. It's with loving kindness that he draws you. He's not trying to punish you. He's trying to see if you'll submit. The reason why they were so quick to leave their business is because after he did that, he said, hey, I can do the same thing with y'all, with men and women. They were like, what? I'm submitted. Submission is relational. Let me show it to you in scripture. Matthew chapter number 16, verses 17 and 18. Jesus replied, this is after Peter got the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Peter got his name through relationship. True apostolic covering is relational. You need a hand on you. And it's not a true apostolic relationship if it's out of reach of you. You can't be on someone's mailing list in ministry and be covered. You can't follow someone's Instagram account and be covered. You can't visit Transformation Church for 14 months but still not have gone through the activation class and be covered. You are only covered when you come under, not when you hang over. Peter got his name changed because of proximity and relationship. Point number two, please write this down. True apostolic covering is releasing. It is releasing. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter number 16, verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Let me tell you something about the true apostolic. The true apostolic is releasing and empowering. It is not manipulative. It is not trying to leverage the relationship for their own personal gain and benefit. It is releasing. It is empowering. Jesus is the only person I know that could come down to earth, be fully God and fully man, and be okay with the people that he taught doing greater works than him. That's how much of an empowering leader he was. He said, hey, you're going to do greater works than me because I'm going back to my father. He said, Peter, for that revelation that you just got, that little piece of revelation, I can build my whole church on that little piece of revelation you got. And the gates of hell won't even prevail against it. And I'm going to give you so much power that whatever you bind here will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose here will be loosed. Can you imagine that type of authority? That all of heaven is peeking over the balcony, waiting to see what you say about it. That the government of heaven literally peeks over the balcony of heaven and says, God gave that man authority, and if he binds it, we bind it. If he loses it, we loose it. That's the authority that was given to him. It was a releasing authority. It was not a pyramid scheme. So here's the thing, Peter. If you go get 10 disciples in your upline, and they get 10 disciples in their upline, and they get 10 disciples in their upline, and all of y'all start giving 10% of what you get to me, because I'm your apostle, you should be sowing seed into me, because I'm the one that found you and made you somebody. So you should be sowing seed into me because I'm good ground. That's not biblical. You won't find it. That's actually manipulation. That's somebody that has a heart for greed and a heart for arrogance. Let me say this. Sons don't take care of fathers. Fathers take care of their sons. I have a 10-year-old child and a 7-year-old child. If they were working on their math homework, they would never have to come to me and say, Daddy, can you help me with my math homework? And I say, absolutely. If you would sow a $20 seed, I'm your father and I'm covering you and I'm good ground. Wow. You should sow seed into me and then I'll give you the answer that you need. That's manipulation. Wow. That's control. Wow. That's prostitution. That's a slave trade. You're not making money off the people you disciple. You're empowering them to go out and be everything they've been called to be. What could Jesus gain from Peter being Peter? He was God. The only thing he wanted to see is this man be everything he was called to be before the foundations of the world. And he released him to go out and be who he was called to be. Here's point number three. Please write this down. The true apostolic covering is restraining. You need a hand. Did I give you point number two? It's releasing, but you need a hand behind you. It's the hand that pushes you, okay? But restraining is point number three. You need a hand in front of you. But Peter took him aside. This is funny to me. Mike, come up here. This is hilarious to me. Let me read this first, okay? So let me give you the sequence real quick. Peter gets a revelation to Jesus, check. Jesus gives him a name, check. Then Jesus gives him power and authority, check. Then Jesus says, now that you know who I am, let me tell you, I'm gonna have to die. And here's Peter's response to that. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him. Can we just stop right there? That's gangster. Peter got a little too brand new too quick. Like you're a rock all of a sudden, and all of a sudden you got keys to the kingdom of heaven. You're probably feeling some kind of way. Then Jesus says, I have to die. And he's like, come here real quick. Let me talk to you. No, Jesus, real quick. Not all y'all don't need to listen. Let me be rocky right now. It's not gonna happen. Heaven forbid, Lord, scripture says. This would never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. This had to be a confusing day for Peter. Peter came into his small group with Jesus as Simon. Then got told his name was now the Rock. And then he got called Satan. Can you imagine how he felt when he got home? Walked in his house. His wife was like, hi, honey. No more names. I don't know if I'm honey, Satan, Peter, I'm confused. Jesus shook me up today. Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Here's the thing. I just want you to clear this up real quick. Jesus did not call Peter Satan. He called Satan Satan. True apostolic covering knows when you're being influenced by Satan and being detoured the wrong way, and it will always come to auto-correct so you don't wind up going astray. So here's what this relationship looks like. When you hear that Tim Ross is the apostolic elder of Transformation Church, what does that really mean? What it means is I've been assigned to Michael and Natalie's life to cover them. I get no vision for Transformation Church because I'm not the visionary for Transformation Church. Mike is. When I came into my relationship with Mike 7 years ago, we didn't see this. We did not see this at all. I wasn't going, that kid might be somebody. I need to buy this stock early. That guy's going, but had no clue. The Holy Spirit just put it on my heart, and this is my natural default anyway. I'm a discipler. If I fall off a log, that's what I do. I disciple. And so we came into a relationship. And what you need to understand is that I cover Mike and Natalie. Because here's the thing. If he's good and they're good, y'all will be good. If he's not good, their marriage isn't good, and those kids are not good, y'all will be good for a little while, but then it won't be good no more. And the movement will be over because God cares way more about him and them than he cares this. And he will shut it down and raise up somebody else in a heartbeat. God is not out of options to minister to his people. Okay? So in this relationship, I put a hand on him. The reason why this church is so blessed is because Mike has a hand on him. The reason why I'm blessed is because there is a hand on me. His name's Robert Morris. Let me tell you why Robert Morris is blessed, because he has a hand on him, whose name is Jimmy Evans. Let me tell you why Jimmy Evans is blessed, because someone laid a hand on him named Larry Titus. Yeah. Let me tell you why Larry Titus is blessed, because somebody laid a hand on him. Everybody's covered.
Wow.
There's a hand on him. Because there's a hand on him, God blesses. He looks down on him in the same way he looks at Jesus and said, "This is my son in whom I can be well pleased," because he's under cover. This is what it looks like to have a hand on. Now let me tell you what it feels like to have a hand in the back. Right? The releasing hand. Mike calls me with stuff. Listen, you have a visionary leader. Ooh, boy. He got more. Listen, he got enough vision for all of us. He got a vision for all of Tulsa. He got a vision for the nation. He has a vision for the world. This man has plenty vision, okay? And he'll call me. He'll be like, "Oh, big bro, oh, my God. You have no idea, yo, God's been speaking to me, yo, and I feel like he's telling me to do this, and he's telling me to do that, and I feel like this is about to happen, and I just wanted to talk about it with you. I just want to process it with you." He's always been submitted. Here's the thing that I love about your pastor. He's so submitted. He's not just waking up in the morning, scratching his behind, going, "You know what, the Lord spoke to me, and I'm about to do it." That's when somebody plays the God card. "Well, we're doing it because God already told me you can't do nothing about it." No. He submits it. I think the Lord is saying this. And so I hear it and I'd be like, what? And I go, "You better go do that. That's the Lord. I'm releasing you to do that. You are covered. If anybody tries to come after you, I will punch him in the face myself. You can go do that. You've been released to do it. You've been empowered to do it." The true apostolic is always releasing. It's never doing this. "Well, hold on. Wait, that's a lot of vision. Where am I in this vision?"
Wow.
"God is opening a lot of doors for you, Mike. You haven't invited me yet. You went to Elevation Church and preached for Stephen Furtick. Are you going to drop my name? You do know I'm the apostolic elder of Transformation Church, Mike. Are you going to put in a good word to see when I'm going to come preach on the Easter service? That's not the true apostolic covering. That is a man that wants to manipulate you for his own gain. And as soon as he feels like there is no more use for you, he will discard you and put his arm around the next big thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I can't stop. True apostolic will be with you when you are faithful and will be with you when you deny him. Ask Peter. He called him a rock when he was faithful, and he called him a rock when he disappointed him. When he denied him, he was his. When he was faithful, he was his. You don't throw nobody away just because times get rough. If you're faithful, I'm with you. If you deny me, I'll be with you. I am here. Okay. Lord Jesus, okay. So I release him. I release him. Doors are opening for him. I release him. I don't know how many people follow him on Instagram. I release him. I don't know how many people is watching the YouTube channel. I release him. Transformation Nation. He's been released to minister to nations. I'm not trying to ride in on a coattail. I'm just releasing. And listen, our personalities match so good. Because let me tell you something about your pastor. Your pastor is an extrovert. Your pastor is lit at all times for no reason. Like, there's not even, there's like nothing happened. He's like, I'm just so excited today. It's just a mate, listen, God's going to do it. And you like came in like depressed and stuff. And then he startled you into faith. You came in like, I didn't even want to be here. He's like, listen. And you're like, okay, I'm listening. What else? God's going to do something. Don't you believe it? And you're like, this is what he does. Okay. Here's why we're such a great fit. I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert, which is why the majority of y'all don't know who I am. And I don't care. I actually prefer it that way. Okay? I love all of y'all. And if y'all all lined up after service, I would hug all of y'all. I would. But then after I went home, I will forget about all of y'all. My assignment is not to try to stand in the spotlight with him. My assignment is to keep him covered so that when he's in the spotlight, there's no blemishes on him. Listen to me. I told Mike when I met him, I'm not here for your gifting because I didn't give it to you. I said, I'm here for your weakness. I don't have nothing to do with your gifting, but I can keep you from being stupid. Through my own trials and tribulations and decisions that I've made, don't be me. You're 11 years younger than me. If you can miss the stuff that maybe I fell into, you will go further than me. And I'm okay with you going further than me. Because Jesus was okay with his disciples going further than him. And this man will be okay if you go further than him. That should make at least 100 people happy that you are covered by a pastor that wants to see you win. Okay, here's the last thing. Point number three is that it's restraining, okay? You need a hand in front of you. Okay, so sometimes, right, in the same way Mike has vision, that I'm like, uh-huh, and then what else? And then what else? Go! Sometimes Mike comes to me, and I have to be like, hold on real quick. He comes to me like this, big bro, yo, Christmas is coming up, yo, crazy vision, yo. The production's gonna be crazy. Here's what I'm thinking. Okay, we're gonna cut a hole in the roof. Did you see Will Smith when he was in that helicopter and he bungee jumped into the Grand Canyon? Not quite that, but I'm gonna rent a helicopter and I'm gonna rappel down into the sanctuary. I just really want the people to get a visual of heaven opening for them and God coming down. And so he's pushing for that, right? He's like, yeah, I feel like that's the Lord. A true apostolic covering puts a hand in front of you and restrains you if you start going a way that's not his way. Wow. But let me tell you how it looks in a healthy way. What it looks like in a healthy way is, hey, man, roof, home roof, yeah. and then a helicopter coming down. May I submit something to you?
Okay.
Because that sounds amazing.
It's going to be.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. But you are doing construction with the children's wing in the back.
Yeah.
And you got some more renovations that's going on, and you need like 126 or 130 more volunteers when you get ready to go to two services next weekend. I'm not saying it's not the Lord, but do you think it would be a good use of the church's resources right now to take away from that stuff tangibly that they can see to rent a helicopter? It sounds like a great idea. I submit it to him. That's the healthy way. Here's the unhealthy way. I'm your apostolic elder. No. And if you don't obey me, something bad's gonna happen to you. Wow. And you bet not talk back, because the Bible says, touch not. Oh, sounds like some of y'all been under some unhealthy people. How did you finish that sentence so quick? True apostolic covering submits it. And here's what I love, and I'm close right here. Here's what I love about your senior pastor. It's his heart. This man is so humble. To date, there's been nothing that I've submitted to Michael that he's pushed back on and said he wasn't going to do. I don't demand that he do it. And if he were to do it, I would step back, because I can be wrong too. Maybe I'm not hearing from the Lord. Maybe we need to pray more. But here's the thing. Unity is more important to us than simply getting a vote passed. We would rather have a unanimous decision and hear from the Lord, even if it means it delays it for a minute, so that we can be in agreement, than to push through something and maybe breach or fracture the relationship. When you leave Transformation Church, I don't care if you leave with Michael's style or his energy. I want you to leave with his heart. Thank you, Mike. And if you would cover yourself here, I'm going to tell you, there will be some things that die in you. Pride will die. Ambition will die. Low self-esteem will die. Generational curses will die. But what's going to produce is something beautiful that comes up out of you that is rooted in a place that actually has good soil. You're not just dealing with dirt that's been turned over and somebody dropped something in the ground and bing, Transformation Church came up. What you are dealing with is somebody that doesn't just care about the seed. He cares about his soil. And if you would get planted under cover your life would never be the same. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this message? And I felt strongly there was something on this message that was not in the first two. I know everybody heard what they needed to hear. But there was something about this one. God is doing something with all of Transformation. But he's doing something specifically for you. Some of you all, you have a great anointing on your life, but you've been so hurt in ministry that you've decided to stay out on the fringes and you've made an inner vow. I'll never submit myself to authority again. You may have not said it with your mouth, but you've said it in your heart. You were manipulated at the last church. You were abused at the last church. And, and you feel pain and anguish when you even think about the word submission, the word authority. But I'm telling you right now, you're in a healthy house. This is not a perfect house. There's no church that's perfect, but this is a healthy house. We get checkups regularly. I don't pop into Michael's life twice a year as some faux accountability. I'm in his life. When he calls me, I pick up the phone. When I call him, he picks up the phone. It's relational. It's releasing, it's restraining when it needs to be. But it's produced a harvest in the last 9 months that none of us could have anticipated. If you hear under the sound of my voice, I believe God wants you planted under the cover of Transformation Church. Some of you all in Transformation Nation, you're watching me from thousands of miles away. And you're getting something here that you feel like you're not getting anywhere else. And I'm grateful for that. But if you cannot get to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you find yourself being fed by us, I love the fact that you're being fed by us, but I still want you to find a local place to plant yourself and get covered. You are never going to become all you need to be watching a screen. We're so grateful that we get to supplement your diet and your spiritual well-being, but we want you planted because we want you growing. We want you thriving. We want you surviving the stuff that the enemy wants you to die in. You will live. And you have a testimony that's going to rock your world around you. I pray for you, God. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to a church that's planted under the cover. Take this word, Lord, and do something that we couldn't do on our own.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.